Joining us now is John Sununu, the 75th governor of New Hampshire. John, welcome back.
Thank you. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing great. And how's your son doing?
Doing great, thank you. He's enjoying it. He's made the legislature has now gone home. He got all his budget, got the programs he wanted. He cut taxes, put the state back on a growth path. So it's been a good session for him.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say if you want health care passed, go to the governors of the state. Can you explain how that works?
Well, look, the governors have to implement all this stuff, and they have choices that they make on some of the pieces that are there. In the Obama administration, they had to choose whether there was Medicaid expansion or not. They had to choose how to structure some of the programs, and they're the guys and ladies that have to make the hard decisions after Congress passes this legislation. I think they're going to get something. I think what may even be on the table now may not be the final. I think the governors have had some strong inputs. Vice President Pence went to Providence to the National Governors Association meeting there and had some meetings with the governors there and heard from them what their concerns were. So, look, this is a hard piece of legislation. It's a hard issue. Obamacare put a lot of entitlement into the game. It put a lot of taxes into the game. It put a lot of spending into the game. It changed the structure of health care. And trying to undo that is a very complicated process.
And, Governor, I thought about you, too. So glad you're on today, especially because, you know, your gut tells you, let's try to get something done in a bipartisan way. And I get it. And I hope that happens next with tax reform. I hope it happens next with infrastructure. However, you're an example of somebody who reached across the aisle. And you know, you agreed as chief of staff, you urged the president to do that slight tax hike in order to get some things done with the Democratic Congress. And guess what? They hit you over the head with it, and it might have cost President Bush 41 his reelection.
Yeah, look, that first agreement the president came to with Congress, a democratically controlled Congress, they had 260 to 175 in the House and 55 to 75 in the Senate. They controlled both houses. The first agreement he came to was just a hike in the gas tax, which hadn't been adjusted for inflation in almost a decade. Unfortunately, some of our purest friends in the Republican Party shot that down, and then the Democrats were able to roughshod push whatever they wanted into the adjustment of the agreement, and we ended up with an increase in personal taxes because the president needed a budget when he was sending young men and women over to the Middle East to get Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. So, you know, sometimes you hurt yourself, you hurt your policies, you hurt your party, you hurt your country. By demanding perfection in a piece of legislation. And I think you've got to get things done and move forward. Get 90% of it now, and then get the rest of the 90% of the rest of it in the second piece of legislation.
I feel bad criticizing him, but I just cannot go along with Rand Paul's stance. Here's what he said yesterday.
The one thing we should do is try to repeal as many of the taxes, as many of the regulations, and as many of the mandates as we possibly can. I still think the entire 52 of us could get together on a more narrow, clean repeal, and I think it still can be done.
And replace it down the line. He also went on to say it's dangerous to put your name on this. Cut three.
But I don't think Republicans should put their name on this, keep part of Obamacare, and then we're going to be blamed for the rest of the unwinding of Obamacare. It's a really bad political strategy, and it's not going to fix the problem.
But the choice is, you can make this better, but he's shown no inkling to give in or what exactly he needs. And the danger is Obamacare stays in place, Republicans look inept, and Democrats blame Republicans for sabotaging Obamacare. Doesn't he understand that?
I don't understand where he's going. Look, let's put one piece of arithmetic on the table so that, and I'm astounded my Republican friends haven't been emphasizing it. When CBO talks about losing 20 million, losing their insurance, or being uninsured, they don't even say losing their insurance, being uninsured, the bulk of that number will come from young people who will choose not to be insured.
Right.
because it is a bad bet for them. Or some of them may go to catastrophic insurance, where for a cheap price they can get something that protects them against disasters, but they have to pay their day-to-day medical bills themselves. Now, that's the key to me to get the American public to understand the reality behind those CBO numbers. That's what I think Republicans should be talking about. And with the amendment that was put in there, the Cruz amendment, I think it takes care of what Rand Paul originally said was his biggest concern, that Americans should not be obliged to buy expensive health care insurance plans. And the Cruz amendment allows the insurance companies to be selling policies that are not, if you will, the Cadillac policies that were virtually mandated by Obamacare.
Governor, I tell you the truth, I'm looking overall at everything. So now we have the John McCain health scare. Who could have predicted that? Having said that, they were going to try to get a vote. There might not even been enough votes to have a vote this week. Having said that, where do you go from here? If you're at Reince Priebus, what do you recommend the president do? Number one, with health care, what's his public stance? And number two, how do you pivot to tax reform, or do you?
Well, I would rush to infrastructure first. That's an easy, it's an easier bipartisan package. And get that thing done and passed, and get some Democrats to vote for something. The Democrats have decided to have a two-pronged attack. They're attacking the president on all these issues, the Russia issue and so on. They're attacking the White House directly with that. And secondly, they've decided to vote no on everything. And so I would start urging Congress, McConnell and Ryan, to be putting forward legislation that forces the Democrats to vote on some of these issues and starts getting them out of the trees and where they've been hiding and not voting for anything. It's a complicated world. It's a hard world. And you've got to start dealing with the reality of what they have decided is their strategy to go into the 2018 elections. And I don't think you can make it go. You have to make it uncomfortable for them. You can't let them feel comfortable that the two tactics they've decided on is going to help them.
I know. And someone's got to be out there more public. The president's tweeting this morning, but not many public events. Governor, lastly, I thought about you because President Clinton and President Bush 43 have put together this presidential leadership program, and it was time to put out the awards. But first, they were interviewed on their stage at the Bush Library, and they talked about the relationship between Clinton and Bush, which should on its surface been bitter because of Hillary and the fact that Bill beat your former boss, Bush 41. But instead, it's just the opposite with the entire family, not so much Hillary, but with Bill and the rest of the family. And here's what George W. said.
He was humble in victory, which is very important in dealing with other people. And I think Dad was willing to rise above the political contest. In other words, it starts with the individual's character. And both men, in my judgment, displayed a strong character. And therefore, the friendship was able to be formed.
How soon did that friendship start?
I'm not really sure I can put a date on it, but it wasn't too long after the election. Look, George Herbert Walker Bush really brought character to the presidency, and the hardest thing, it's certainly important and gracious to be magnanimous in victory. What's awfully hard is being magnanimous in defeat. And so, I give Bill Clinton credit for what he did after his victory, but certainly George H.W. Bush deserves, orders of magnitude more credit for being as magnanimous as he was in defeat. And look, there's a respect amongst former presidents that I think is critical. You see it amongst almost all of the former presidents. I'm not sure the occupant of the White House most recently in the last 8 years understands that reality. It looks like he's going to continue in being an active part of partisan political attacking, but those that came before him generally have functioned within that framework of staying quiet on political issues and respecting the presidency and the president. And I think that's what George W. Bush was talking about when he's describing the relationship between George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, and so far you're talking about President Obama, and it looks like he's forming PACs, doing fundraisers, going internationally, and taking jabs at the current president.
Yeah, he's... In my opinion, he's already stepped beyond the line that most past presidents will never cross.
It's a shame. But you know what? I think that Bush, 41, especially, pulls out the best of Bill Clinton. I think it's the closest to an older brother that he had.
I think there's a lot to that. If you want to be effective as a presidency, you do the hard things. And then after you leave the office, you should understand that you want to grant to your successors the same courtesy of non-backbiting, if you will, that you had when you were there. And most of them do that. Most of them respect that. Most of them understand it. It's a very special club.
Absolutely. I think the country should have had the Bush 43 and Clinton 42 press the whole interview live. And remember, there is a chance that Democrats and Republicans can be productive, keep your values, and work together. That would be a great thing to see. I think we forgot that. I know you haven't. Governor Sununu, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks. Good talking to you, Brian. Have a great day.
You too.